ICEA Gear has outfitted over 10,000 bow hunters across the country, and we're continuing to raise the bar when it comes to bow hunting camo. New for the 23 season, we introduce our never-before-seen panel fabric system designed to be dead quiet, along with our patent-pending bow hunting collar. ICEA Gear. Features and function built for bow hunters by bow hunters. Learn more at asiogear.com.
Welcome to Bear Bow Hunter Podcast with your host, Nate Bailey, where we look to the ancient paths of our hunting ancestors to guide our future, where woodsmanship and hard work outweigh advanced shooting devices, where we value those who have gone before us and welcome those who are yet to come. Join us as we exchange valuable insight about the Bear Bow Hunter's lifestyle. Of Bear Bow Hunter Podcast. I just thought I'd do a recap on the antelope hunt. I knew it was something that I really couldn't do for that unit with a traditional bow, and I really wanted to do it with my muzzleloader. But a couple, about 2 weeks before season, I really tried to work up a load on the muzzleloader, and I was having some real problems trying to get the cap and ball to shoot consistent. And the unit that I put in for is a 13-year draw, and it's a very special place to me. It was a place where I have over 40 years of tradition and hunting with people that are near and dear to me, and a lot of them aren't here anymore. And so it was a little bit of a tough hunt because of all the tradition and all the memories that I have there. And, you know, when you're by yourself for extended periods, those memories tend to catch up with you and make it harder and harder to work through, you know, your total hunt and keep yourself focused on the hunt. Another problem was we only saw one antelope. The unit is getting hit hard by coyotes, I believe. And the reason I say that is because, for one, I only saw one antelope. And I'm used to when I was a kid, man, we used to see them everywhere. We'd have to be careful and not shoot fork and horn deer because, you know, the antelope early in the mornings as kids, our uncles were always, make sure that it's not an antelope that you're shooting at. That's how many antelope used to be over there. So it was a tough hunt, to say the least. And we didn't see any fawns with does. I think we saw probably four or five does out of the whole time that had any kind of fawns, and the rest of them just had zero fawns. There were no fawns with them. So it was really interesting, a different hunt. I did use a rifle, and that's something that I want to talk about in this podcast, because, man, I'll tell you what, I have been accused of being a trad police, and I have had the trad police come after me. And, you know, when you have a bear bow hunter, if you say that you're a bear bow hunter, which I am, I hunt with my bow more than I hunt with anything. And to have people come out of the woodwork after they see me kill a pronghorn with a rifle is ridiculous. But I do. I have people that are like, why in the world? And they have no clue as to the unit that I was in. You could just sit on a water hole and wait for the antelope to come in. Well, it's not that easy. These antelope are kind of wooded antelope, and they drink from springs, and they have several different springs that they can drink from. It's not that simple to sit on a spring and think that you'll actually get even to see an antelope within the week's time that you have to hunt these things in this unit. And another thing is, it was 13-year draw in a place that was kind of sacred ground to me, and I want to hunt there, and I want to get an antelope from there. And, for me to hunt with a rifle is not like this major sin. So lay off, guys. I'm a traditional bow hunter through and through, but I am a hunter before I am a, archer. Everybody knows that about me. You know, even even if you watch our videos, even the times that we're successful, even the times that I'm just shooting, everything is around hunting. I'm a bow hunter. I'm not an archer. I'm not a target archer. I don't like even 3D shoots. Just because I don't believe that they help you hunting. I think they actually hurt you. If you're practicing with your at foam animals that are set way past regular shooting distances, then you're putting some expectations on your shot that just aren't there in regular hunting situations. And I'm not against it. Don't get me wrong. I'm just, for me, it's not something that I feel like I'm not a target archer. I don't care about how many points there are. As far as I'm concerned, if you put it in the vitals and that animal does not live any longer than he has to, then you've shot a 10. It doesn't matter if it's a 1-inch little round circle that's supposed to be a heart. Now, with that said, I'm not trying to be a turd here. With that said, at the same time, you guys have all heard me talk about let's get rid of some of the things in archery that are making it easier for people to kill animals, because we're killing our opportunities through some of the stuff that we're doing. Even in the trad bow world, if we're shooting gaps and we know those gaps and we're using a rangefinder to be able to shoot those gaps, it's taking away something that the original intent of the season was. Now, I don't want to sit here and just rack, you know, hit compound bows and hit rangefinders and this and that. But what I do want to say is, we got to start thinking this stuff through. Okay. There's rifle seasons for rifle hunting. That's awesome. I used it. I hunted the rifle season. That does not make me any less passionate about trying to keep the opportunities alive in bow season and limiting the technology. And I know people are going to say, well, that's hypocritical. No, it's not hypocritical at all. We have a rifle season for rifle hunting. That is a level playing field for the management system of trying to manage wildlife through using that weapon choice. The same holds true with bow season. And bow season, you're given all sorts of advantages. Like with elk and deer, you're hunting them in the rut. And guys, when this first came out, that was something that very few people did, for one. And I've been around elk hunting a long time with a bow. I've been around it over 30 years. And what I've seen, then the changes that I've seen, and the loss of opportunity, and you cannot tell me that we have not lost opportunity in Oregon, are due to the fact that technology has made it easier to kill elk in that season, or deer. And so that is one of the big things that I think we have to understand, is that these are things of real importance when you're talking about losing opportunity. A lot of it's because we're losing opportunity because we are killing a lot of bulls. Just basically, bow hunters are killing a lot of bulls, and ODFW, when they're trying to manage certain areas, they have to manage it through controlled hunts. That's just the way that they have to do it. That way they can limit the number of tags in that certain area, so they can limit the number of bulls that get killed out of that certain area. So that's why it has, before, all of the rifle hunters were carrying that burden. But now that we have caught up with a lot of the rifle hunters in some of these units, we've killed as many bulls as the rifle hunters. That's what's going to create a problem within that unit. So when I talk about limiting technology, I'm not doing it from a traditional bow hunting, you know, trad police, trad Nazi, trying to be just, if you're shooting wheel bows, then you're, what I'm saying is we can't make it much easier, because if we do it like crossbows, right? Crossbows is just that next step up to make it that much easier. If we continue to do this, we're just going to lose seasons. We're going to lose opportunities. And I'm telling you right now, I would rather have opportunities over even kills. I'd rather be able to hunt over not being able to get a tag. And the unit that I'm used to hunting is that way. I get to hunt it probably once every 3 years now. Whereas, you know, when I first started bow hunting, you just picked up a tag. So I say all this. It's kind of funny because I get beat up from the trad police or even guys that aren't really giving me a lot of trouble. But when they see me shoot an antelope with a rifle, they're like, oh, well, you shot that with a rifle. You know, that's just super easy. Why would you do that? And then to the guys that are actually getting after me for shooting with rifle. And then for me to go and say, hey, look, we need to keep some things out of bow season. So it's not a hypocritical thing at all, guys. Trust me on this. It's not a hypocritical thing at all. It's just using your noggin and going, if we're going to have a bow season, we're going to have to start limiting some of this stuff. So with that said, let's talk a little bit about the hunt. It is a traditional hunt as far as I'm concerned because it's in a piece of ground that I've hunted since I was, well, before I could actually legally hunt. I was just following my uncles around, driving the pickup for them sometimes and picking them up. I can remember being 10 years old and they say, okay, now take the pickup over here and wait for us and we're going to push through. And I would do that at 10 years old. And so I've been in that unit, and I've been around the people in that unit. My uncles were never bow hunters, but they were traditional hunters. And one of the things that they instilled in me is if you can't kill it cleanly, you don't kill it at all. You don't even try. And over the years, they lost very few animals, very few. But the tradition was always there. And like I said, we have to, especially in the traditional bow hunting world, and especially with a lot of the new people coming in, and especially with a lot of the ideas that are out there, we really have to understand that tradition is a thing that is beyond the weapon a lot of times. And like, you know, our Life Outdoors motto, and it's really becoming apparent to me that this is our motto because it's getting just weird. Social media and YouTube and all this stuff is getting weird about seeing the biggest and the best and the greatest killed. And we're kind of glossing over the fact that the hunt is really what's more important. And I mean, even in the traditional bow hunting world, right? We're like, oh, well, yeah, he killed a 6-point, a little 6-point. Oh, that's cool. And then we want to see a bigger 6-point. And then the people that are out there creating content feel the pressure of, oh, I need to kill a bigger one this time because, you know, I killed this one last time. And the problem is we're glossing over the whole hunting situation where there's so much more. There's infinitely more about hunting than releasing an arrow or pulling a trigger. And that's one of the things that we have termed into the Life Outdoors and with Barebow Hunters. Our motto is there's so much more to hunting than pulling a trigger, or there's so much more to hunting than releasing an arrow. And we're getting back to that, and that's what we're trying to do. That's why I'm trying to come with some of these podcasts and try to point out the big things of the hunt. Yeah, you know, pulling a trigger or releasing an arrow is part of the hunt, and you don't want to belittle that at the same time. But what I'm trying to say here is that I think we have been taken over by antlers and animals, and I think it's something that we've seen come and go. And don't get me wrong, everybody likes big bucks and everybody likes big bulls. But I think we need to reset and get back to a level where we want to just watch the hunt. We want good quality video of hunting, not just the kill. And I see more and more, you know, coming on YouTube. I see, and I know what's driving it. It's because there's a lot of people that want to see that. But I see more and more, you know, top 20 kills or top 15 kills or, you know, and I just think we need to get away from it. I think it's something that is not good for the hunters and the non-hunting public that see this. So, with that said, I think we need more Donnie Vincent type films, and that's what we're setting out to do with what we do. And it's all part of the adventure. So that's kind of what happened with the antelope hunt. I was over at a place. I was there for, I had some friends over for the weekend, and my wife was there until Tuesday, and my mom was with me, which is huge because my mom did a lot of hunting with me when I was younger. She took me hunting, you know, before I had to have an adult with me. She was the one that usually took me or my uncles. So it was kind of huge to have her there, and it was a big part of tradition. The one thing is I couldn't use my muzzleloader. I really wanted to. But quite honestly, even if I had the muzzleloader there, I would have probably put it down because we only saw one antelope, and where he was located was someplace where he was smart enough to bed down in places that I couldn't get within under 200 yards of him. And so that was a huge deal, is being able to hunt an antelope on the ground. And I only had, you know, a certain amount of time, 6 days to do it. And so it was one of those things where it was definitely, I had to do a rifle if I was going to do that. Now, my next antelope tags, I'll do bow hunts. And my bear tags, I'll do bow hunts. I killed a bear while I was over there too with a rifle. And it was just something I came across. And so, we need to manage that population too. So I for sure got him with a rifle. But here in Oregon, we get 2 fall bears. My next tag, I will definitely be bow hunting with the stick bows for bears. And same with elk coming up. It's definitely going to be the stick bow. And also with late season deer, it's going to be the stick bow. So those are kind of things that I just want to throw out there that, you know, I'm a hunter first. I'm not a target archer at all. And I'm a bow hunter after I'm a hunter. So I will hunt because hunting is in me, so deep in me, that I will hunt till my dying day, I'm sure. So with that said, let's talk a little bit about this hunt. Like I said, we were hunting some traditional stuff. Stuff that I've been at since I was a little kid. We actually have a rock blind that we build in that same area. Every time, and the rule is, if you go to the rock blind, everybody that passes it has to put another rock on it. And so it's kind of a tradition for us, and it's kind of neat, and it's something that my kids remember doing with their grandfather, because they started building it when they were little guys. But at that rock blind is where I started glassing, and we saw that little buck. I don't know how big he really is. I'm not a big pronghorn guy. I've waited 13 years to kill one, and this was something that I wanted to do here. And anyhow, I glassed him up, and even from about a mile away, I could see him looking at me when I was looking at him. And I don't know if you antelope hunters do a lot of this. If you're, you do a lot of that. There's, and I know a lot of guys are, you know, blind hunters. They hunt out of the pop-ups and stuff like that. But the only way to get to him was to stalk him. And my best way was to drop off, because if the way that the Ochcos are set up is they have the scabs up on top and then they have canyons down below. So I picked out a landmark, got down below the cabin or the canyon, and made my way up to him. And it somehow or another, he knew I was there most of the time. I would pop up, see if he was still there, and it took him about a few seconds to look my way and start checking me out. And it's because of where he bedded. He bedded in a place where he could see at 360 degrees for about 200 yards around him, which I think is an important thing for antelope nowadays because of the coyote population. They can't get snuck up on. And antelope don't worry about 200 yards as much as they do about, 50 yards. So he could sit up there and watch everything around him. And he saw me, and he knew I was there, and he saw me every time I pop up. But I never did break that 200-yard range. And that's the big difference between a rifle and a bow. I don't care if it's compound or a recurve. That's the difference. And so I've belly crawled several times and to try to get within range of him. And he'd start looking nervous at certain areas. And finally I decided, well, I'm going to drop down in. And I'm going to come all the way around back, and the wind's going to be right, and I'm going to just kind of chill out down there for quite a while, and then when I come back up, because I don't want to shoot an animal that is alert. For one, I just don't think the meat's as good, and for two, that adrenaline sometimes make them take more punishment than they really need. So I waited it out down there for quite a little while, and then came up, and he moved a little bit. And he was up and feeding, which I thought was perfect. If he's up and feeding, he's pretty calm now. He doesn't think that I'm really hunting him and I'm not pushing on him. And I think that's a big deal. So what I did is I got up and glassed him. And I was like, oh, man, he's still over there. I should make this other run, right? I should go through this other section and come up and try to get closer. And then I pulled out the thing I was griping about, the rangefinder. I pulled out the rangefinder, which is something that I got because of spring bear hunting. Knowing your ranges, spring bear hunting, where we hunt is a big deal, and where we're rifle hunting. I'm going to rifle hunt spring bears for quite a while because they need to be shot. And if I shoot two bears a year and then hunt one with a bow, I think that's a good payoff. I just don't think it's morally right of me, knowing how many bears there are and what they're doing to our populations, to not hunt them with a rifle to get my two bears out of the way, because that's the only tool that ODFW has to get rid of some of these bears. They are so overran with bears that I think we all, even if you're a staunch traditional bow hunter, for bears, you should pick up a rifle. And I think you owe it to the animals, and you owe it to the elk and the deer calves. So, anyhow, with that said, I ranged that little buck, and he was about 350 yards off, and I'm like, wait a second. I could shoot this rifle very well out to 500 yards, and it's a 6.8 Western, so it was made for that. It's a hunting rifle that's made for a 500-yard shot, basically, is the way that it was made. And I've shot it several times at, plus 350 yards. So anyhow, I range myself, and I'm waiting for the animal to get really broadside, and the rest is history. So I hit him. I hit him a little bit further back than I'd like to. So I had to do a finishing shot. But I had to go up and find him and finish him off. But you'll see that all in the video if you watch the video. But the thing that I really want to point out here is the fact that this was a traditional hunt in the instance that it was something in the likes of what my uncles did over in Ochoco. And I know it was a rifle hunt, but at the same time, you guys, it was very hard yet gratifying at the end, because the hard part wasn't so much the antelope hunting. The hard part was hunting the same ground that I was just being inundated with memories and really missing those memories and worrying about what's coming next. As people are growing up, we just don't have the people going over there anymore. And the tradition if you live a tradition that long, you don't want to see it die. This is, I think, the same thing that affects probably the Native Americans, when they saw the paradigm shift in society, this is one of the things that they saw about losing some of their land. I couldn't imagine not being able to go up there and hunt on top of that, where we have that rock blind. And that tradition's just that strong, right? And so when we're talking about traditional bow hunting, and we're talking, tradition is just as much a part of traditional bow hunting as the equipment. And so those two things coincide as far as I'm concerned. And that's why I say on that I'm a hunter first, and I'm a traditional hunter before I'm a traditional bow hunter. But I thought I'd like to clear some of that up. The guys on Facebook give me a lot of crud over shooting things with a rifle. I'm sorry if you feel that way, but I am going to shoot things with rifles. You're going to see a lot more bears shot with a rifle, because I think it's our moral obligation to kill bears. I think it really is, especially here in Oregon. Now, if you live in a state where they allow, you to run dogs or to hunt over bait, that's a whole different thing. I would be hunting with my bow most of the time. But here in Oregon, we're not allowed to do that. So we have to get these bears out of here if we're going to have any herds. And we have to shoot coyotes, too. That's another thing, is you'll see me shooting a lot of coyotes with my rifles, because I'm almost positive that's why we only see a few antelope in Ochocos, because the coyote populations are so high. We had coyotes coming through camp in daylight. I mean, not just one, right? We had like four. And I saw more than that hiking. I saw coyotes out there digging for squirrels and things like that. But they're feeding on fawns just like any other predator does. So just thought I'd jump on here, tell you a little bit about that. Elk season's coming. Gage picked up a trad bow this year. He's got the Dawes bow from Three Rivers Archery, which is an absolute awesome bow to shoot. I don't know if you guys have ever shot one, but if you're around Three Rivers Archery or you see us in the woods, ask us to shoot it. It is a really fantastic bow. Anyhow, he's really proficient out to 30 yards, and we are so psyched about elk season, and I hope you guys are too. It's going to be a good year. Everything that we're doing this year is OTC. OTC, over the counter. We didn't draw our tag, so we're going to be hunting over the counter. So it's going to be rough. It's going to be tough, and there's going to be a lot of video. So I hope you guys enjoy watching the hunt, because you know what? There's so much more to hunting than releasing an arrow.
Thanks for joining us for another installment of the Bear Bow Hunter podcast. Remember, we couldn't even be talking about this stuff if it wasn't for our public land. So go and support the people that are protecting it, backcountry hunters and anglers and TRCP. Also, if you'd like to see more of Bear Bow Hunters, go to our Facebook group, go to our Instagram at Bear Bow Hunters, like us, and hashtag all of your photos with your Bear Bow goodness in them, Bear Bow Hunter. We have a website as well. You can go over there, check out the rest of the podcast. We have videos, we have t-shirts and hats. Thanks again. Until then, shoot straight.